Hello and welcome to Finn Sportsman. I'm your host, Tyler Finberg, and today I have a great episode for you. This is going to be a two-part episode. So one episode with two parts. The first part will be catching you up with all the news going around all the leagues. So mostly NBA and MLB. Since MLB's opening day was last Thursday, I'll be catching you up on all the games and telling you scores right now, who is 2-0, 1-0, all that. So I'll be catching you up on MLB. And then Joel Embiid is back on the court. Yesterday, he played his first game back from his back injury. I'll be telling you all that. And the Mavericks, guess what? They are back. They are on a hot streak right now. Telling you what has made it so good. So the Mavericks, we'll be talking about them and Joel Embiid in this first part and MLB. And then we have in our second part, and this is going to be revealing my top 32. I've already done my big board top 32 prospects in one episode before. If you want to go check that out, go back and check that out. You can go check it out. But I'm going to be, this is my second time doing it. This is my top 32 big board so far. I have a lot more than top 32, but I'm just doing the first round for right now. I've done a lot of studying. Right now, I'm working on cornerbacks, so that is an interesting position. I've gotten a lot of QB, running back, wide receiver, a lot of that. So I know a lot about this, so I have my top 32 ready to go. Getting started here. Okay, I'm gonna get started right away with MLB as opening day was this Thursday. It was a great sight to see. Fans are back in the stadiums. Crowds are cheering, roaring for their team. A ton of games went on. Two games were postponed though. One due to the rain, the other one due to COVID-19, starting off with the rain one. It's the Orioles and Red Sox. This one was for makeup for April 2nd, which was 2 days ago from when I'm making this. If you're listening to a different date or a different time than today when I release it, then it's definitely going to be a different amount of time from April 2nd. But then we also have, due to COVID-19, the Nationals-Mets game did not go on due to the Nationals testing, having some tests to come back positive. I believe they're at a total of 4 positive tests right now. So the whole series of the Mets and Nationals, which was a 3-day series, has now been postponed for later. I believe they are going to make it up. I'm not positive about that. So right now, Nationals and Mets, that series is not going on. So both teams will go back on the field on Monday. The Nationals take on the Braves. I don't know who the Mets take on for Monday. I'll check it out right now. They take on the Phillies, so that's going to be a good game. But those were two postponements I just wanted you to be aware of. But then it started off with the Yankees and Blue Jays, with the Blue Jays winning the game after. In the first, it was 2-1. This one went into extra innings, having the Blue Jays win this game. It did not go into extra innings, but the Blue Jays won 3-2 in this game. Gary Sanchez of the Yankees hit his first home run of the season, which is crazy because Gary Sanchez had done so well last year. So that was something that was incredible to see, a guy who was hitting very terribly, for him to come back and hit just so good for this team. So that was something that was really good to see. He hit the home run, and then it was a two run, and then another one for Frazier was the one who hit it for the other one. So Blue Jays beat the Yankees off of that. Then it was Cleveland taking on Detroit, and Detroit got the best of that, playing in the snow. It was the Tigers winning 3-2. Tigers have not been so good in the recent years, so that was a big win for the Tigers here. Then it was Brewers taking on Twins. Brewers got the best of that, 6-5. Very good game. Hader got the win in that game. Pirates, Cubs. Pirates actually won this game. A lot of surprises from that. 5-3 right there. Braves, Phillies. Phillies won that 3-2. Rockies got the best of the defending champions, 8-5. Kershaw had a 7.94 ERA. Padres won 8-7. Reds took on the Cardinals. Cardinals won 11-6. I'm excited to see the Cardinals this season. They're getting better and better each year. Royals took on the Rangers, with the Royals winning 14-10. Very good game there. Marlins lost the Rays 1-0. That's actually the two Florida teams. And then Angels took on the White Sox, with the Angels winning 4-3. Also, Shohei Ohtani expected to pitch and at bat for the Angels soon. I forgot what game it is. I believe it's the next game they play. Then the A's took on the Astros, with the Astros winning 8-1. Giants took on the Mariners. Mariners won 8-7 as your opening day. Those were some of the great games. Let's see some stat leaders right now for the 2021 season. Let's see which one we want to do. We're going to do who has the most home runs right now, which is actually tied with a lot of players. Leading right now, at the top of the list right now, Alex Bregman of the Houston Astros has 2, alongside a ton of players. Gary Sanchez, who I mentioned earlier, Kettle Marte, Paul DeJong, and others, including Austin Meadows and Buster Posey, all have 2 home runs right now. Right now, leaders in RBIs, there is a clear leader right now. Nate Lowell of the Rangers right now has 9 RBIs on the season. Not surprised that someone has 9 RBIs, seeing how the game between the Royals went 14-10. Then the next best one is 6, with tied with a lot of players. So right now, home run is tied with a lot. RBI has a clear one right now for the MLB, with Nate Lowell with 9. So those are the top leaders right there in home run and RBIs in the MLB and opening day for you. Then next, I'm going to go to the NBA, where Joel Embiid made his first appearance back since, I believe it was a back injury against the Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns has been showing up lately as they took on the Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns finished the game with 39 points. Anthony Edwards, 27, going very under the radar right now recently. Anthony Edwards, I honestly think he has a chance to come back and win the Rookie of the Year, since LaMelo is out for the rest of the season. But on the other side, with Joel Embiid, he had a total of 24 points in the game, 3 blocks, nothing that is usual for him, 0 steals, 2 assists, 8 rebounds on the game, 4 on the offense, 4 on the defensive side for him. So that was his stats for the game coming back. This is a really big add, as the 76ers have really been falling off the radar since his injury. They're right now tied for first with the Brooklyn Nets, who have been acquiring all these great players. And so this is a big add, big reunion for the Sixers as they get their star player back. And then they have an easy game, at least with Joel Embiid back, against the Grizzlies right back there. So that's going to be a great one. And then the Nets play the Bulls right now. They're actually playing exactly right now in the third quarter, losing by right now 12 on the game. So that's a big thing. Thomas Satoransky has 16 points right now. So interesting thing for the Nets, who don't want to lose this game as they are tied for first. And obviously, numbers don't really matter where you're ranked, but in the NBA, it kind of does. If you're ranked 8th or 7th or something like that, it's really, you're playing the top super teams in your division, so that kind of matters. But then let's go over to the Mavericks, who have been on a hot streak lately. 7th in the Western Conference, better from their 10th spot. They're on a 4-game winning streak, so that is something big. Last game was last night against the Wizards, winning 109-87. Luka Doncic, crazy good player. He has gone crazy the last couple of games. He really has been going crazy since he has like 28 points per game. That's the last that I saw. So, crazy good player, Luka Doncic, who has been helping this team a lot. This streak right now with Washington, the last one they have played, they got that win. Let's see if I can get the other games they played. Obviously, Washington, their last in this 4-game winning streak against the Knicks, who isn't a bad team anymore, to be honest. They're a really good team recently, with Julius Randle making the All-Star, his first All-Star appearance, and I believe this is the first in forever for this team. But they also beat the Celtics 113-108. I was watching that game. Luka Doncic had 36 in this. So this streak has really been Luka Doncic scoring. JJ Redick, I believe, is finally back. But then they got a new player. Let me see if I can get him. Nicolo Melinelli, their new forward they traded for. He was on fire the last night against the Wizards with 10 points. So big thing for the Mavericks. Good news for the Mavericks, too, to overcome so many losses and then show they can fight right back at you. Also, a quick update for a score. The Bulls right now are winning 69-54 in this game. So just so if you wanted to know the score right now, it is it's 83-72. It's just a glitch. But it's 83-72 Bulls with Nikola Vucevic. He is now in here with 20 points on the game. Thomas Satoransky, 16 and 10 for Daniel Theis, or Theis, however you say his last name. Zach LaVine also has 16 points on the game. So I would love to see an upset here with the Bulls leading by 15 right now, 87-72. So good game over there. And then let's go over here. This game, so we got Clippers, Lakers today. Warriors, Hawks is going to be a good one. So those are the games for today. Also, Drew Holiday of the the Milwaukee Bucks signed a max contract, 4 years, $160 million, I believe, is what it is. So that is something to watch out for. This could be really good for Milwaukee and the next couple of seasons, just to have the safety blanket of Drew Holiday on this team, because he's really made the impact on this team lately. And I think he could definitely be someone who's going to be a team player. And he just got traded this offseason to the Bucks. So to get a max contract right off the bat is a crazy big deal, especially for the Bucks, who wanted someone else as the wingman for Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I definitely, this is a great signing for the Bucks to add him to the roster. So congrats to the Bucks to continue to have Jrue Holiday on their team and to sign long-term with Giannis Antetokounmpo, who signed a max 5-year deal, I believe, is what he did. So congrats to the Bucks on getting a max contract along with Jrue Holiday. So congrats to the Bucks. When we come back, I am going to do my top 32 players updated. So I will be right back with that. It's going to be a totally different than when I last did it. So please make sure to stay tuned for that. And I'll also probably keep you updated with the games that are tipping off right now as the Lakers and Clippers also tip off for right now. And the Bulls and Nets are going at it. And it's a really good game. So I'll keep you updated with that. I will be right back. Here's a quick word from my sponsor, Anchor. Hello and welcome back to Finn Sportsman. I'm your host, Tyler Finberg. And we're going to get right into it with the second part of this episode. But before, like I said, I'll keep updating you with the scores of these NBA games that are going on right now. Clippers are crushing the Lakers right now, 10-2. Both Morris's brothers have scored. Marcus and Markieff Morris, if you did not know who they were. Marcus Morris right now has 4 points on the game and 2 rebounds. And Markieff Morris has 2 points, who is the leading scorer for the Lakers right now. I believe this is in a timeout right now since the clock is not running right now. And then the Nets and Bulls. The Bulls are right now winning 89-70. Thomas Satoransky has 16 points still on the game, 11 assists. Just give him 9 more rebounds, and then he has a triple-double. And Jeff Green has 13 points and 2 assists for you. That is just a quick update on the scores. And we'll get right back into this with my top 32. So at number 32, I have running back Travis Etienne. He's my running back 2 for this year's draft. I personally think the running backs in this draft are really good, better than they have been in a few years. But last year was definitely a good running back class. But at number 32, Travis Etienne out of Clemson, dual threat running back, catches it out of the backfield. He also can run the ball, great vision for a running back, strong speed, one of the fastest players in this draft, especially for the running backs, has top-tier speed. I honestly think he could be one of the next generational running backs, especially since this year or this day and age, it is, if you have a dual threat running back, you can do a lot with him. And Travis Etienne could definitely be that. And there's a lot of talk of, does Najee Harris or Travis Etienne go first? I think Najee Harris, but both players definitely have a case for the first round. Travis Etienne is at number 32. At number 31, if you saw my wide receiver rankings with Sam, if you didn't, please go check it out. If you did, you might know what number I have Terrence Marshall at out of LSU and what I think of him. But for a refresher, I have him at wide receiver 6. To me, he's not a wide receiver 1. He's always been behind Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. So it shows you that, all right, he's always been the smaller player, always the wide receiver 3. Then this year they put him in the spotlight and didn't really show off in it. So I just don't feel too high on him being a wide receiver 1. My potential for him is a wide receiver 2 on a team, but he is my wide receiver 6 in this class. I think he brings a ton of talent, speed, great catching ability. I believe Terrence Marshall could be a top tier or one of the better wide receiver 2s that you feel very strongly and comfortable having him as your wide receiver 2 as. So Terrence Marshall at 31. At number 30, I got Azeez Ojulari, edge out of Georgia. I have 4 edges in this top 32 section. And this year's edges. There's a ton of great ones, but there's four that really are standing out in the top 32. I could see more going in the first round. But Azeez Ojulari, he's proven to me that he is a top 32 talent, first-round talent out of Georgia. That D is filled with draft talent. Azeez Ojulari, usually on the edge, he can play sometimes in the defensive line anywhere, not really nose tackle, but he's a strong edge. He can fight through tackles, tons of speed for an edge. I'm excited to see what he can do in the next level. I feel like the Browns could be a great place for him where he can succeed in the near future. So I got Azeez Ojulari at number 30. At number 29, I have Nick Bolton, linebacker out of Missouri. He's my linebacker four right now. Nick Bolton, I was very strong on earlier in the year, but right now he has fallen to 29. But I still like him as a linebacker. Feel that he's a very solid player. He is great in zone, which is usually what the linebackers are in this year's class. Also can attack the cornerback, so I feel like he can do a ton in the future. So Nick Bolton at number 29. At number 28, I have Eric Stokes, cornerback out of Georgia. Great man-to-man player. Has climbed up my big board a ton of times. And this one, he got first-round talent. As I've been watching cornerbacks, he's been one that really has stood out to me and has really been a top player, in my opinion, for the cornerback spot. Cornerback number four, he was one that really impressed out of Georgia. Like I said, great man-to-man player. He has a ton of speed to cover a player. He also is a good, he can be a run stopper sometimes when it comes over to his side. He's a great run stopper, which is something cornerbacks, you want in a cornerback who can be a run stopper, not let the plays go any further than a yard or two. So I think that he can be a good run stopper. Not the best, but he is a good run stopper for Georgia. Great player overall. He kind of, him and DJ Daniel, who was another player at Georgia who's coming into this draft, they both remind me of each other, but Stokes is the one who has more speed, better man-to-man coverage player, but they do look alike since they both coming out of the same university kind of are developed the same. So Eric Stokes, I like him a lot better, and I think he's first-round talent. At 27, I have Gregory Rousseau. He's my edge three out of Miami. He's a guy I have had go further back. He's fallen on my big board, but I like him in this 20 through 30 range. I don't think he could fall any further. He could move up, but Gregory Rousseau, strong talent, good speed. Not my favorite player in the world, but I think he could definitely make an impact on a team. And with a year or maybe two, I think he could be a top edge, at least from this class, maybe not in the NFL, but he definitely could use a year or two. In my latest mock draft, I had him in Green Bay. The mock draft was with Sam. If you did not see that, please go check it out. But I have Gregory Rousseau at number 27. At number 26, I have Kadarius Toney, wide receiver five for me from Florida. Shiftiest player in this draft. He's really shown a ton of talent from when I watched him. He was Kyle Trask's favorite target. He was using the screen game, but showed that he can create yardage off of that, and that really impressed me. Great vision downfield. Like I've been talking about, he can get the extra yards that comes from the vision of where the tackles are, the players. So I think Kadarius Toney really could make an impact He also has good timing from when they get the ball and then take off. Instead of when he catches the ball, he starts running. He somehow makes it work with him getting the ball and then starts running, which he makes work with his crazy good speed. He's at number 26. At number 25, I have Najee Harris. He's my running back one. None of the running backs, I feel like, are top tier, but I have Najee Harris at 25 right now. He's a great running back, and really what impressed me a lot was his he drove 9 hours to go to a pro day. He wasn't even attending or even doing, which really showed me how special he is and how loyal he is to his teammates, and is just a great teammate overall. So I think that really impressed me a ton, just hearing the story of Najee Harris driving 9 hours to get to the pro day. Really impressed me. But he's one of the better, stronger backs in this class. He fights for the extra yards, which is definitely what the NFL is all about. You got to do something else besides just run the ball and get into the end zone. You got to fight for those extra yards. And then he also is a dual threat running back at times. He's a bigger back but can catch out of that backfield. So something I really liked about Najee Harris. He's at number 25 on this new big board of mine. At number 24, Elijah Vera Tucker, star at USC. He's an offensive guard, but I think he can definitely transition to offensive tackle. He can be whatever. He played outstanding, great pass blocking for the Trojans. I really believe Elijah Vera Tucker could be talent. I've seen him all the way up at number 10. I don't think he's that far up for me, but I've seen him as far as 10, which shows you how good people think he is. At number 23, I got Zaven Collins, linebacker 3 for me out of Tulsa, out of the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, which isn't a Power 5, but it's turning into one because Cincinnati has grown to be a top talent in the college football as they were ranked in the top 10. Got some other teams, not going to name them right off the bat, but they have a lot of great teams. Memphis is one that produces a lot of NFL talent, like one Antonio Gibson. And then they got another player coming into this draft, which I won't get into that because we're focusing on the top 32. But Zaven Collins won the Defensive Player of the Year award, which shows a lot about how good he is to get recognized for being a top-tier defensive player. Good in zone, great run stopper, great just all-around player. He's crazy good. As I watch more tape of linebackers, I'm going to tell you my official linebacker rankings most likely once I do them. But Zaven Collins is one to watch out for, and he's definitely one that climbs up a lot of people's big boards. At number 22, I have Jalen Phillips, edge 2 out of Miami. This is one that's crazy good. I think that he has outstanding vision of where a play is going, which is incredible to see a player just reading a play and just attacking straight on it. He's done that a ton of times in his career at Miami. Also is good at his handwork of trying to get to the quarterback, just totally juking out the O-lineman, which is something good to see. I believe Jalen Phillips could even move up to my edge one in the near future. I'm not saying that he is, but I can see him moving up there in the near future. And number 21, the first edge on my board out of Michigan, Kwity Paye. He had a better season in 2019 and before. He wasn't a star in 2020, but he was a great player on the D-line. I'm excited to watch a lot more tape on him, and I believe this could be a really good edge class to watch out for. Next, at number 20, I have Trevin Jenkins, offensive tackle 5 for me out of Oklahoma State. This guy is another great talent on the O-line. Great blocker, also great I think he could be a great run blocker for a team that has a great running back, because Chuba Hubbard has done all the success. Trevin Jenkins has been the one blocking for him. So that shows you how good of a run blocker he is. Just for Chuba Hubbard to have so much success, it shows the O-line of how much success they've had so far. Trevin Jenkins at number 20. Then Samuel Cosmi, who blocked for Sam Ellinger at Texas. Sam Ellinger once had a year that he could have been a Heisman, but guess what? He did not win the Heisman, and Samuel Cosmi was the one blocking for him. Number 18, Micah Parsons, linebacker, 2 out of Penn State. He has fallen a lot on my big board. He's now my linebacker 2. Like I said, linebacker 1 is a guy I think is a lot higher. When it came down to this decision, it came down to I don't think Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is any further from 18. I think he's a lot earlier than 18. And so Micah Parsons had to be linebacker 2. And I don't think I liked Micah Parsons anywhere further in front of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah where he's ranked. But Micah Parsons made a huge impact at Penn State. The numbers show, especially the record shows, of how many wins and losses they had compared to this year was definitely something interesting to see of how big of a difference he made to this team. At number 17, Caleb Fairley falls all the way. This one, it's the back injury has finally gotten to me. He is having a second surgery, and this is now starting, in my opinion, is starting to make him fall. I don't like him falling. I think he's a top cornerback in this class. He's going to be the steal of the class in the future because he's going to probably fall most likely. Teams are going to be afraid of that injury. He could fall to the second round, I've heard, which I don't think is he would fall that far, but he could be the steal of the draft for any team. 1 year as cornerback and did a ton with it. And so I'm excited to see where he goes and why he's going to be the biggest steal of this draft, even though I believe he has a ton of talent. At number 16, Christian Darrisaw is my offensive tackle 3 out of Virginia Tech. Here he is at number 16. He is a top offensive tackle in this draft. He is a top run blocker. I think a perfect team could be the Minnesota Vikings, especially with Dalvin Cook there. I think he could be especially good there since he had a top 5 run blocker rating in the country this year. So Christian Darrisaw, however you say his last name, he is number 16 for me. Number 15 is Mac Jones, a guy who I like a ton, reminds me of Tom Brady. Not saying that he is Tom Brady, but he reminds me of him. Jones is the best pocket passer in this draft, in my opinion. He takes his time to throw and throws it on the money. So I expect the Pats O-line, the Patriots, if they can trade up for him, might be the perfect O-line for him, especially with Bama having their whole O-line basically coming into this draft. And they were all great. He had a ton of time to throw and threw right on the money and also is great at surveying the field, which is something an NFL quarterback needs to do. Mac Jones, number 15 right now for me, but could be picked as high as 3 in this year's draft. At number 14, I have Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He's my linebacker 1 for this big board or this top 32. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, a star at Notre Dame. He was a great player to watch. Ton of talent, a big linebacker, great at, he was basically the captain of this defense and was great zone ability and had great, he was a great pass. He had a ton of power getting to the quarterback. Great attacker. and put a ton of pressure on the quarterback, which changed a lot, especially for DJ Uiagalelei, who's a freshman at Clemson. He did a ton for that team against Clemson in their first game against them. At number 13, I have Rashad Bateman, wide receiver number 4 out of Minnesota. This is a guy who I'm very high on. He's one of my favorites in this class. Reminds me of Keenan Allen of the Los Angeles Chargers. He has great playmaking. He, from the first couple of steps, makes great footwork. He always finds space in the middle and is a great tall receiver. And I think he could definitely be one of the top wide receivers coming out of this class in the near future. So I got Rashad Bateman at number 14. 13. At number 12, I have Devontae Smith, wide receiver 3 out of Alabama. Just the only reason why I have him out of the top 10 is because the size is going to play a role. I think he's a great player in this class. I'm being honest. He's a great player. It's just going to be his size that turns teams away. There's nothing against Devontae Smith. I believe he's a great player, but it's going to be a size that teams are going to look at, and they're going to say that he's a smaller wide receiver and may not be developed yet for the NFL. So give him a year or two. I think he could be a great player for a team. Create space. He uses his speed to advantage, always finds open field, and you can also see that when watching tape of him at Alabama. At number 11, I have Trey Lance, my quarterback 4 from North Dakota State University. As we know, Carson Wentz went to North Dakota State and is finally getting his redemption in the NFL. But Trey Lance here, he is a great player. He's one of the more mobile quarterbacks. I just think some teams are going to look at him. He's not fully developed yet as a quarterback. I think he's going to be needing a year, maybe two, under a good quarterback, more like a Matt Ryan I'm mostly talking about. So that's really looking at that. I think it's just he's going to need some time to develop. I think that's why I have him out of the top 10. At number 10, I have J.C. Horn out of South Carolina coming down to the top 10. Thank you if you have continued listening to all this way through. Real quick, I'll tell you the scores of the game. The game is almost over for the Nets and Bulls with a 10-point lead going to the Bulls, 112-102. Tom Satoransky, 19 points, 1 rebound, 11 assists. And Kyrie Irving, 24 points, 2 rebounds, and 15 assists. But then in the Clippers-Lakers game, the Morris brothers, Markieff and Marcus, both have the top scores for their teams. The end of the first quarter, Clippers winning 27-20. Marcus Morris for the Clippers has 11 points, 3 rebounds, 0 assists. And Markieff Morris for the Lakers has 9 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist for the Lakers. Now let's go back. That was just a quick look at the scores for the NBA. Ton of games going on in the MLB. I'm not going to go through them right now, but ton of good games on to watch. So let's get back to number 10, J.C. Horn, cornerback number 2 for me out of South Carolina. Strong player, big player, gets his hands in there, deflects passes. He's an all-around player that you want on your team. I could have him as my cornerback 3, Caleb Fairley. But right now, J.C. Horn, I believe 10 is a good spot for him. At number 9, it's Rashawn Slater. Looks like one of the most pro-ready offensive tackles in this draft out of Northwestern. One of the only ones that could actually block Chase Young out of Ohio State. So that says something already off the bat. Great pass blocker. He was great in the championship game against Ohio State. Rashawn Slater at number 9. Number 8, Patrick Surtain out of Alabama is my cornerback number 1. Lockdown corner, press corner. Doesn't really let anybody get by him besides Elijah Moore. But that's the only player. So Patrick Surtain, number 8 for me. on this big board. Number 7, Penny Sewell. He's my number 1 offensive tackle. He delivers pancakes. If you don't know what that is, it's basically when a player delivers a strong block to a defensive lineman, and he does very good at that. He's a very strong O-lineman, and really I think he could be a future Pro Bowler, multi-time Pro Bowler for whoever team he goes to. Number 6, Ja'Marr Chase is my wide receiver 2 out of LSU. This guy has been someone I have been high on since watching film of him. He had 900-plus yard games in 2019 and over 1,700 yards total in that year. He's also a reliable target, best jump ball grabber in this draft, strong hands, and is really a strong wide receiver. So if his stats don't show you, his play shows you. He's a great player. Also, the Bulls win 115-107, just so you know. And the Clippers and Lakers have now took back off for the second quarter. But now let's finish the top 5. At number 5, I have Justin Fields out of Ohio State. You might be wondering when I had him. He's most likely going to go farther, not farther, but a couple spots back. But I like him at number 5 for now out of Ohio State. Ran a 4, I want to say it's a 440, ranking him. I don't know what the official was, but he was in top 3 when I last saw him. I believe he was number 2, second fastest 40 time for a player. So Justin Fields says a lot about how much speed he has. One thing that's going to be a problem is the accuracy, but I think over years in the NFL, maybe a year, I think he can fix that right away. He also has a strong arm, one of the strongest arms in this draft, probably either better or tied with Trevor Lawrence, because they both throw a ton of long passes in games. He also is comfortable in the pocket until he has to scramble, so that's something good. He's very comfortable running, as I said. One thing also that he doesn't do very well is reacting to the blitz or pressure that a team gives to him. But I think, like I said, in the NFL, that's something they could work on. So Justin Fields out of Ohio State is right now at number 5 for me. Number 4 is Jaylen Waddle. He's my wide receiver 1. Has a couple spots with one spot that is in between Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle. Shows you how close they are and how good they are. Jaylen Waddle, great player, strong athlete, number 1 receiver for the Crimson Tide, can catch in traffic, can create space for him, also has tons of speed that he has, and for Alabama, he was a key factor for this team, and then he also came back in the championship game, which is surprising to see after his injury. So it looked like he had a strong recovery, which is good, which does not worry me at all. At number 3, we have Zach Wilson, quarterback number 2 out of BYU. This one, some people might be complaining that I have him at number 3, but the player before him, I feel like he's going to be a really good player for a long time. Zach Wilson, I feel like he could be the most riskiest player in this draft to take, especially I feel like with the team he goes to, it could ruin how he plays. But Zach Wilson, strong player, has great timing for one to take the ball down and run. Has a strong arm, too. I think if you watched his pro day, it really impressed. But it's a pro day. But Zach Wilson's at number 3 right now. Number 2 is Kyle Pitts, all-around weapon. He's one of the generational tight ends because I don't remember when the last time is that we had a tight end that has played or is this good. It's just crazy to think of a tight end who is a dual threat, and can play basically anywhere on the offensive, on the offense, besides O-line, obviously, and quarterback. But he's a crazy good player. Tight end one for me. He's at number two. At number one, I got Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson. He's my number one, and obviously he's number one. So Trevor Lawrence, strong arm, great player, has really improved his running ability from a year ago. And he really, there's not really anything that is bad with him that he has. The one thing I feel like he could do better on is knowing when to throw the ball away, which he didn't really do in college. He tried to get some yardage, but that's one thing I think he can learn about as he goes into the NFL. But he's my number one. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Tyler Finberg. If you got all the way to this point, thank you so much. Thank you again for watching. Until next time.